Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'd like to welcome each of you to the house of the Lord this day, and ask that you would turn to hymn number 202 for our opening song, For the Beauty of the Earth, 202. I'd ask that you might stand as we sing, please. As much as you're able, would you kneel with me in the opening prayer at this time? Our dear Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful and do rejoice to once again have this time and this place of worship that we might come to, Father. Thankful for the blessings of life and of this day that you do so continuously pour out upon us, Father. Praying, Father, that as we might come together and assemble ourselves before Thee on this day, that You might look down upon us in mercy and forgiveness. Praying, Father, that Your Spirit is here abundantly with us and would reach out and touch each individual here as they stand in need of its strength and direction in their lives, Father. And we do pray at this time that as our brother and Thy chosen servant might stand before us, that You would grant unto him the message that You know that we stand in need of. Praying, Father, that You would help him, that he would have clarity of thought and mind and word, that he would be able to present to us this day that message that You've given to him, Father. We pray that You'd help us, that we would open our hearts and our minds and our ears, that we would be able to receive that direction for our lives, Father, that indeed this day we might be fed by the words of life and gather strength and direction we need for our lives. Pray, Father, for the many who stand in need of our prayers this day, for we know we have many who have weaknesses and sicknesses and ailments upon them, Father. We pray that You be attentive to each and be with those who, for problems or concerns in their lives that have separated themselves from us. We pray that You'd help, that they'd once again have a desire to be here with us. And so, Father, for these things we do ask and pray and trust ourselves in Your watch care in the name of Your most holy and blessed Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I have a scripture reading in the third book of Nephi, the sixth chapter, verses 25 and 26. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be who go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Let's continue this morning with the use of hymn number 64, Come All Thou King of Kings, 6-4. I ask that you might once again stand as we sing, please. Well, brothers and sisters, as you can see, our brother has a message to present this day that he already has something up here on the board. I understand that we don't need to know the meanings, but you might want to look at them. There is going to be a spelling test at the end. And so with no further ado, I'm as curious as everyone else to find out what our brother has to deliver us this day that I'm sure that the Lord has given to him. So I'd ask that you give your careful and your considered attention to our brother and elder Gordon McCann.
Thank you, Glenn. Good morning to each of you this morning. I do feel I have a message I'd like to bring. I did put some words up there. Those of you who are Greek scholars, I think you're going to be able to figure that out real quick. But if you're not, then hopefully, maybe by the end of my sermon, you'll understand those words. I read that scripture verse out of the Book of Mormon. That was Jesus Christ teaching those here in the Americas, those words that were given of him of the Father. He did the same thing in Israel when he walked the earth prior to his death. He spoke those same words that you can find in Matthew in the 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14. For the most part, they were exactly the same as you find them in your King James Version of the Bible. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. One of the things I've noticed, that as I've been able to, when my mind is directed to a scripture verse, I start looking at it really close, and I try to understand everything about it. And to see See if you can give me a new meaning and a new understanding as the author was able to pen those words. And so it is with this particular verses of Scripture, as I looked into it a little bit deeper and not just on the surface, there was a lot of good things in there that I remember Brother Hubert a lot of times, he talks about how all the Scriptures kind of tie together very, very neatly. And so it is here with just a very few words, as you will see when we go through these words of Scripture, that a lot of other Scripture will be tied together. And they'll all make sense. They'll all come together as the Word of Christ and the Word of God does in many, many instances. I had a boss in Las Vegas who was there really shortly, and then he has left for another job, another position for another firm. But before he left, we had shared a lunch together, and he knows that I'm a minister, and we were just sitting and visiting, and he was explaining to me how he spoke to his children, how he raised his children, and how he tried to help them to understand, at least with his understanding, the desire of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, and how it should relate to them in their lives. And he told them that there's a lot of people out there, and that there's a lot of paths, and they're all struggling to get to one point, being Jesus Christ and the kingdom of heaven. And he said that if they continue to look at God and on these diverse paths, that they would eventually get to that center point of the kingdom of heaven. I listened to him, and I thought about those words and how a lot of times that's expressed by a lot of people. And I thought about this verse of Scripture that you find in Matthew and in the Book of Mormon. If that teaching was really true, is that what God is saying? And so I looked more deeply in those words of Scripture, and I think I found something a little bit different. Here are the words of Christ. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate." Wide is the gate. I looked up that word, and it happens to be in the Greek, this word, pleitia. The word for wide. It's an interesting word because it translates, or the direct translation, as an open square, a street. And I thought about that too, thinking in my travels, where have I seen an open square or a street that that might depict? And something came to my mind. In my travels, when I was young and my father was in the military, we traveled to Europe. And one of the places that we visited was Venice. Venice is a province or a city in Italy. It happens to be a seaport. It is the capital of Venice province. It happens to be situated in 120 small islands, and they were formed by 177 canals. And right smack dab in the middle of all that, there's a square. It's called St. Marco's Square, or St. Mark's Square. Right in the middle. It's a very famous square. You've seen a lot of old-time movies, and different ones have been there, and you've seen them on the news at times. But it was interesting that I thought of that, because it's kind of like what my former boss was talking about, where you have all these paths leading to this one place. I thought about those canals. I don't know if you've ever heard any reports or if you've even visited Venice. Those 177 canals, that cut that island, that cut those different islands up, you find that they're highly polluted, very polluted. In fact, they were in. I remember seeing where they were interviewing an actress one time who did a movie back in the 60s, and she was accidentally bumped into one of these canals. And she said she picked up a virus that she still has today. It's in her body. That's how polluted it is. And I remember looking in that water, and it was quite polluted when we were traveling there. But in the middle of this square, you find the evidence of a very large cathedral that had been built and burnt, destroyed and built again about four or five times. It's called Mark's Cathedral. You find, they call it the Doge's Palace, which was again built and burnt over several different times. It happens to be, it was where the chief magistrate used to stay, who was over the 12 principal islands at that time, back in the 828 A.D. But as you stood in the middle of the square, it seemed to be a reminder of dead men, a dead man's society. Because if you know about history of the Roman Empire, it collapsed. And really, it was never reached that glory again afterwards. And I thought about that. And all those winding paths leading to that glory. Really, it's a beautiful place down there by the Adriatic Sea. The warm, salty water. And yet all the pollution and the dead men's bones in the middle there. A wide, open square and street leading to destruction. A gate that leads really nowhere. Because if you go off from that area, you can take a ferry and take one of those canals. You'll end up on one of those little islands, and you get on one of those little islands, and you get to run around all day on the little streets and get really nowhere. And you can go down any one of those 177 canals and end up in the same predicament. It's a really interesting square. The verse of Scripture, and it says, "And broad is the way." As you probably have already figured out, this word here is broad in the Greek. It's yorukoros, broad. It means spacious. Maybe a key word, easy. So when you look at those scripture verse and it says, wide is the gate, an open square, hundreds of people can go in there and dispense from there. It's a wide gate. And broad is the way, or very spacious or easy way to go. That leadeth to destruction. Excuse me. Let's turn to the third book of Nephi in the 8th chapter. There's a verse of Scripture in here, verses 43 through 46. Here again, the teachings of Christ, and he says, "And if ye shall always do these things, blessed are ye, for ye are built upon my rock. But whoso among you shall do more or less than these are not built upon my rock, but are built upon a sandy foundation. And when the rains descend and the floods come and the winds blow and beat upon them, they shall fall, and the gates of hell are already open to receive them. Therefore, blessed are ye if ye shall keep my commandments, which the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you. The reason why I chose that verse of Scripture is because as we review the commandments of God, we look at them, we find that there is only a very narrow path. It's not wide. It's not open. There's a specific way that the Scripture teaches that a man might enter into the kingdom of God. There isn't 177 different ways that lead to an open square. You don't find that in the Scripture. You find one path and one gate. But as you look about, you find that that broad road, it really does exist. There's a lot of many ways that you can follow, very easy ways that will not lead to the kingdom of God. Kind of reminds you of the scripture that you can find in first book of Nephi, in the second chapter of that vision of Lehi. You can find that on page 21, verse 71. I'm going to start there. I'm not going to read it all, but just this one particular verse of Scripture dealing with a particular part of that vision. First of all, I want you to remember in the vision in the 54th verse, you find that he says, "And as I cast my eyes round about it, that perhaps I might discover my family also, I beheld a river of water, and it ran along, and it was near the tree of which I was partaken of the fruit." And then let's go over to 71. "And I also cast my eyes about, and beheld on the other side of the river of the water a great and spacious building. And it stood as it were in the air high above the earth, and it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female. And their manner of dress was exceeding fine, and they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers towards those who had come at and were partaking of the fruit. And after they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those that were scoffing at them, and they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. And now I, Nephi, do not speak all the words of my father, but to be short in writing, behold, he saw other multitudes pressing forward, and they came and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they pressed their way forward, continually holding fast to the rod of iron until they came forth and fell down and partook of the fruit of the tree. And he also saw other multitudes," and this is what I want you to understand, "feeling their way towards the great and spacious building. And it came to pass that many were drowned in the depths of the fountain, and many were lost from his view, wandering in strange roads. And great was the multitude that did enter into that strange building." First of all, I thought of that river of water. And if you look closely in this vision, that river of water that kind of separated the tree of life, or that was near the tree of life, you find that that was a water of filthiness. And again, I thought about Venice, how filthy that water was, how disgusting it was. And all those canals were polluted. And if you could take any one of those canals, it still led you someplace down the wrong path. Then this great and spacious building, the pride and vain imaginations of the world. And as we look closely to the world and those things that are in the world, we find that the evidence is there. And there's many who are in that particular great and spacious building. According to the words of Lehi's vision, we find even those who partook of the fruit, that some of them fell away and entered into that great and spacious building. So no one was spared, that all were subject to falling away if they weren't careful. truly the broad is the way that leads to death, everlasting destruction. And here in the verse of Scripture it says, many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate. Excuse me. That's, which one I'm going to use here. The word stenos is straight. This is going to become very interesting. At least I hope. The word straight here in the Greek, stenos, it's a narrow passage, or narrow from obstacles standing close about. And you're thinking to yourself, I know I did, and it says, because straight is the gate, and I'm going, goodness, how does that apply? Narrow from obstacles standing close about. Thought that was interesting. Let's go in the second book of Nephi in the 13th chapter, because I think there's some scripture in there that might talk about those obstacles. Here again, it was Nephi, he was teaching. He was teaching concerning baptism. And he was talking about the Lamb of God, that when he would come, that he would end up being baptized. There in the 7th verse, you can find that. And it was to fulfill all righteousness. Excuse me. That Christ did it that he might fulfill all the words of the Father and to be obedient to him. Then the 11th verse, it says, and again, it showeth unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, he having set the example before them. Excuse me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, the 12th verse, and he said unto the children of men, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, save we shall be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? And the Father said, repent ye, and repent ye, and be baptized in my name, in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins and witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and your Savior down into the water again, according to his word, behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, and then can ye speak with the tongues of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. Okay. Let's look at that a little closer, because straight is the gate. Narrow from obstacles, standing close about. How many times have you heard? All you have to do is believe. You know, believe in Christ, you're saved. And all the other teachings that are out there that they say lead to Christ. And yet, Christ was very specific in the things that He did on this earth and the path that He walked and that He commanded those who would follow. He would say, do even as I have done. Yet, think about all those teachings and things that become the obstacles that stand all around that straight and narrow path that leads to the kingdom of heaven. There are many, aren't there? There's many obstacles out there. Confusing, designed to confuse and to obstruct. Something similar to what you can read in that Lehi's vision, that mist of darkness that comes upon the people who can't see that path anymore. It gets obscured. Another obstacle. Excuse me. But the doctrine of Jesus Christ is very plain and very concise and very straight. And there's only one gate. The word gate, by the way, is right here. It's the same word used in both places where he's speaking is wide is the gate and broad is the way. Gate there is the same word, gate here. Poule. Happens to be a leaf or wing. Of a folding entrance. Over in Europe, you can see a lot of large gates opening from, or that are encompassed about by a high barricade that leads into a center, like a castle or whatever. And those gates are huge. Normally they're two gates. And then they would have a smaller gate, just one little door that they didn't have to open or breach the real large gate where their enemy can come in and just open up a small wing or whatever and allow individuals to come in without breaching the complete security of the whole castle. In any event, there was a gate. In the second book of Nephi, in the sixth chapter, I think it's important to understand who's at that gate. And who has control over the gate? And I think this verse of Scripture talks about that very plainly. You can start on verse 79. That's on page 110. It says, "Oh then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One, and remember that His paths are righteousness." Excuse me. "Behold, the way for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before him, and the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there. And there is none other way, save it be by that gate, or by the gate, for he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name, and whoso knocketh, to him will he open. And the wise and the learned, and they that are rich and who are puffed up because of their learning, their wisdom and their riches, yea, they are they whom he despiseth. And save they shall cast these things away and consider themselves fools before God and come down in the depths of humility, he will not open unto them." And That pretty well describes those people in that great and gracious, spacious building. So the keeper of the gate is Jesus Christ. Again, here, the words of the scripture spoke of that straight and narrow path that led to the gate. Again, a reaffirmation of the straightness of the path. The next verse after, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way, the word narrow, again, another another neat understanding about this. I didn't leave myself a lot of room to press, squeeze, afflict, throng, suffer, tribulation, and trouble. By the way, that's suffer tribulation. That's together. So here in this verse of Scripture where it says, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, is that it's to press or squeeze or afflict, suffer tribulation. That doesn't sound too easy, does it? And if you think about it, all those things really can be attributed to those who truly follow after the Word of God. Just like in Lehi's vision, those people from that spacious building were doing what? Pointing their finger at him, scoffing and scorning them. And so it is with the world, with those who say they believe in Jesus Christ and follow that narrow path. We are squeezed, aren't we, really, within our heart and our mind. We have to make choices. Are we going to follow Christ or are we not? We are afflicted. And we suffer tribulation at times. And how many scriptures do we find where those who truly followed after and tried to teach the Word of God, they were killed for their beliefs? I thought that was interesting, that word narrow. You wouldn't even think about it in the English term. It kind of loses some of its interpretation, doesn't it? But when you read in the Scripture and put some things together, you find that really the Greek word was closer to the interpretation than what we have in our own word in the English language. Turn to the book of Helaman. Find here, I think, is a verse of Scripture that kind of describes the narrow way. Second chapter. Verse 26. Yea, we see that whosoever will lay hold upon the word of God, which is quick and powerful, which shall divide asunder all the cunning and the snares and the wiles of the devil, and lead the man of Christ in a straight and narrow course across that everlasting gulf of misery. Isn't that interesting, the words that they use there? Across that everlasting gulf of misery, which is prepared to engulf the wicked and land their souls, yea, their immortal souls, at the right hand of God in the kingdom of heaven, to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and with all our holy fathers, to go no more out. But I thought that word was, those words there, across the everlasting gulf of misery, that straight and narrow course. I think it goes right along with that word, narrow. Which leadeth unto life. Christ was very specific in his words, where he was able to, with very few words, put together, as he says, the doctrine, his doctrine, the doctrine that the Father gave him. You'll find it in the third book of Nephi in the 5th chapter. I want to review that with you. Starting with the 32nd verse, here he says, "Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine. And this is my doctrine, and it is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me." Now this is that straight and narrow path that will lead to everlasting life. It's going to be very plain and very straight, and it will lead to Him. "And I bear record of the Father, and the Father beareth record of me, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me. And I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe in me." And that is part of His commandments. That we would acknowledge that we are sinful, that we have sinned according to His commandments, that we have that desire to put those things away from us in our lives. And it's because of our belief in His Son. "And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved." Real plain words. "And they are they who shall inherit the kingdom of God." How straight and narrow that path that leads to that gate. And who's at the door? What did the Scripture say? "And whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and I bear record of it from the Father. And whoso believeth in me believeth in the Father also. And unto him will the Father bear record of me, for he will visit him with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And thus will the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost will bear record unto him of the Father and me, for the Father and I and the Holy Ghost are one." And that's what Jesus Christ did here on the earth when he walked among the children of men. He was given commandment of his Father that he would be baptized by one who was prepared of his Father, John the Baptist. And he said it was to fulfill all righteousness. Very plain. Very narrow. He entered into the waters and he was baptized. And when he came forth, what happened? The Spirit in the form of a dove lit upon his shoulder. And then a voice came and spoke to him. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What beautiful words. How often would we have loved to hear the words spoken in our behalf? "In whom I am well pleased." How narrowness the path that leads to the gate. "And again I say unto you, ye must repent and become as a little child." And I think about that. Many times I've spoken as I've preached and come across those words. A little child is all believing. Truly a little child is taught not to believe. Because when they are told something that is wrong and they learn that it is wrong, and at one time they kept it within their heart and mind that it was truth, doubt is formed within their mind. so that anything that they're told thereafter, they will have a little doubt. And be baptized in my name, or ye can in no wise receive these things. And again I say unto you, ye must repent and be baptized in my name. How many times has he said that now? At least three. And become as a little child, or ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. That narrow path that leads to that gate, the gatekeeper is Jesus Christ. He's not going to open it unless those certain aspects have occurred in the lives of the children of men. You can't get it any straighter. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine. And whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And whoso shall declare more or less than this, and establish it for my doctrine, the same cometh of evil, and is not built upon my rock, but he buildeth upon a sandy foundation, and the gates of hell standeth open to receive such. When the floods come, and the winds beat upon them, therefore go forth unto this people, and declare the words which I have spoken unto the ends of the earth. Very plain, aren't they? Again, we can go to the 12th chapter of the third book of Nephi. Again, in the words of Christ, very plain and simple words, I want to rehearse to you and bring to your remembrance. Starting with the 25th verse. Hear the words of Christ. He says, this is my gospel. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father. And because my Father sent me, and my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and after that I had been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That's that great thing we call salvation. It was the cause for bringing back the children of men into the presence of God. That's why when I can, if I'm asked to go to preach a funeral service, I can stand in front of them very boldly and say that each one of you will have an opportunity to meet God face to face. Because when you die, your spirit will immediately go to the God who created it. And it was because of Jesus Christ that can happen. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up, therefore according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. That's all. All men. And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name, there's those same words again that we read concerning his doctrine, shall be filled, and if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, or happens to get onto one of those paths that you can find like in Venice, that leads to an empty square, the same as he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father. And this is the words which he hath given unto the children of men. And for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood. Because of their faith and the repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. Now this is the commandment, repent all ye ends of the earth and come unto me and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. That's that baptism by the fire. Is that baptism of the Holy Ghost, as it would cleanse all those sins that you have laid before Jesus Christ. And verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and you know the things that you must do in my church. For the works which you have seen me do, that shall ye also do. For that which you have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. Very plain words, aren't they? But very straight and narrow. Those of you who are familiar with the words of the Book of Mormon and the stories that are there, there's a story found in Alma, or at least it's recounted again in the Book of Alma, the 17th chapter, and it has to do with those who have a desire to follow after God. And if enter, or at least are on the path. Here in the 79th verse, it's on page 442, it says, "For behold, it is as easy to give heed to the word of Christ, which will point you to you a straight course to eternal bliss." The word of Christ. "As it was for our fathers to give heed to this compass, which would point unto them a straight course to the promised land." All of you know what a compass is, and you know what they're referring to here, where those of Nephi and Lehi and his family, as they were in the wilderness, they had a thing called a lahona, and they were able to look upon it, and it gave them direction. Not only did it give them direction, it gave them spiritual direction as well. And so we can look at that as a type. But the Word of God, those things that Christ brought and delivered in His pen that's in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, if we look upon those things and follow those things, it will be a straight course to eternal bliss. Now I say, is there not a type in this thing? For just as surely as this director did bring our fathers, by following its course to the promised land, shall the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond this veil of sorrow into a far better land of promise. So it is with the words of Christ. Excuse me. There's one more verse of Scripture that I would like to bring to your attention. It was kind of interesting as I came across it. It was words that he spoke to his disciples. And it was similar words that he spoke to the people in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. But he took it a little bit further. But what's really interesting in this, here in this 13th chapter of the third book of Nephi, he had already told them that he had looked down the vistas of time in the future, and he saw that the generation that he was speaking to had all received the words that he had left with them. And none would be found lost. But as he looked, continued to look down, he found that the fourth generation, that there were those who would turn away from those words. And so with that in mind, and the disciples had heard those words, I can imagine what you might think if you were sitting there in their shoes thinking, all right, I've made it, you know. I've made that mark, you know. But let's read these words here and find out what he has to tell them. In the 11th verse, he says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, he saith unto his disciples, Enter ye in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But wide is the gate, and broad the way that leads to death, and many there be that travel therein." Then he adds these words, "Until the night cometh, wherein no man can work." There's not a second chance. This day is the day of your probation. To prepare that when you come to that gate that enters into the kingdom of heaven, and as Christ stands at the door, he says, "Enter in, thou faithful servant." Think about the words of Christ. And the narrowness of the path that leads to that gate. And Jesus is there to help each one of you in that travel. May God bless you in your endeavor of entering into that kingdom of heaven. Thank you.
We will close our morning service with the use of hymn number 171, "O Jesus, I Have Promised."
you bow your heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for this time and the message that we've received, Father. We do indeed ask and pray that you would help, guide, and direct us on that path that would lead to eternal bliss with thee, Father. We ask and pray that you would grant us wisdom, discernment in our decisions, and always be with us to strengthen us and shield us from temptation. We pray, Father, that you continue with us this day and the services and activities that we'll yet enjoy, Father. And for these things, we do ask and pray and trust ourselves in your watch care in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.